One of the good things about the lectionary is that we occasionally get an opportunity to look at a series of sermons, and particularly at this moment in time from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. It's just about four. We're going to get four Sundays where we're going to be able to do that. And so we wanted to look at what we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, which is 1 Corinthians 12 through to 14, and to think about what God might be saying to us through his word and through those letters. And unusually perhaps, but we're going to actually have two bites of each cherry every Sunday. So I'm preaching on 1 Corinthians 12 this morning and the verses that we heard read, and Ben's doing the same this evening. So if you want to hear a different slant on what God has revealed through what he's given Ben to say, then come twice today. That would be really good. So 1 Corinthians 12. Now about spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. What was Paul getting at in these words? Well, of course, the important thing is that this was part of a lengthy letter, not normally split up into chapter and verse. That's not the way we write, and it's not the way they used to write either. But it does help us to find our way around significant passages, so that's why it is the way it is. And in his lengthy letter, he covers many different issues, and this is just one of them, but issues of leadership problems, those who are wanting to follow different leaders, Apollos and Paul sets them straight on that particular piece. He says, we're following Jesus Christ, he is the one. Questions about propriety in worship and the way they were coming and perhaps dishonouring God in their worship by the way they were coming to worship him. And now we're talking about and coming to the whole business of the use of spiritual gifts, which of course are for God's glory, not ours. And as he writes to the Christians in Corinth, we perhaps might want to have a little bit of an understanding. It is first century, cosmopolitan, wealthy city, plenty of distractions for all kinds of people, for those who would wish to indulge in all kinds of things. Shopping was good. If you like shopping, it's all right. Pleasure seekers, but also for those seeking spiritual experiences, and not just Christian ones either. And so we need to get into the mind of what Paul was saying to the Christians here. This isn't a letter which dissuades the use of spiritual gifts at all, but actually it's to consider what is the right way to do so. And it's interesting enough, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12, you'll just see something of the way he unfolds this part of the letter. Verse 2. And he tells them in no uncertain terms, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and you were led astray to mute idols. And there is an inference here and a truth that actually those who did so also had interesting spiritual experiences. There were also strange phenomena like speaking in other languages or tongues. There was the ability to look into the future, but not in a godly way, but in a different way. And the idea that there were probably healings evident too at the same time. But they were not to follow in this particular way. This was not what they had been taught. Their lives were to be built on an authentic faith. They were indeed spiritual beings in Christ with spiritual gifts. But because of one reason and one reason alone. And that was the presence of Jesus Christ. So he says this in verse 3. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit of God. And I want you to be encouraged by this, because I've come across many people in my ministry who have just been uncertain about whether they're Christians or not. And one good test about all of that is that if you are able in your heart and mind to say that Jesus is your Lord, then the Spirit of God is within you. You wouldn't be able to do that or wish to do that in the first place. And so he is the one who enables us to understand our origins in Christ. That's where it all begins. No one can say that unless the Spirit of God is in us. And if he is in us, of course, from this derives the spiritual gifts that Paul goes on to speak about. Because he makes us part of a body of people who gives us, and he gives us gifts that we are to use in the context of his church. And we will all, as we'll come a bit later to see, different gifts to use for his sake and for his glory. But what should happen is that our authentic faith ought to lead to authentic works. In other words, the things that we do ought to have a ring of Jesus about them. And clearly something was going awry with the Christians in Corinth. They were mixing up pagan rituals and all those kinds of things with the purity of the Christian faith. And it just didn't sit right. But there ought to be a sign of authentic works. In verse 4 it says, there are different kinds of gifts, but there is the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men, in all people. I do believe that God uses our natural gifts, and we've all got kind of natural gifts that we kind of lean towards and we are able to do certain abilities. I like wood turning. Not everyone likes wood turning, but I have a feel for wood and I enjoy working with that particular that substance. Is a fantastic thing to work with. Beautiful smell of wood and what you can make it into. And he can use some of those natural gifts, but that's not the gifts that Paul is talking about here. They are spiritual gifts. And for that we need all of his energy and all of in order to do all of his works. It's about him initiating the gifts that we are given. And they're all different kinds of gifts. But it is always the same Spirit. So there's not one above the other. Though he does lean towards prophecy, as we'll learn a bit later in the series that we're doing. But they're not better than the other. But together, all those gifts, we are able to use for the purpose of enabling God's church to flourish and to be a witness in the community in which we live. And so we find that actually it's his works and his purpose, and he is the one that gives authenticity to what we are doing. Anything outside of that doesn't actually work in the same way. And we have to be careful that we don't covet those things in such a way that we're actually worshipping the gifts and not the giver. And the giver is Jesus Christ. So there are authentic works, different gifts, same Lord. That's really key to all of this. And I think too, we see that there's an authentic purpose behind this as well. Verse 7, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. What's the purpose of the gifts? For the common good, that the church may be built up in Christ. And that's really important too. It's not to build ourselves up, it's to build up the works of God in the community in which we live, in the church and beyond. And then we see that this authentic purpose should impact the way we use those gifts. It should be done so with integrity. It should be done with honesty and carefully and thinking about others before ourselves. And so the list comes. To each, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And to one is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. And we need wisdom, don't we, in our lives to live as Christians. And to live as Christians in our working lives and in the community as well. And we need God to help us. And we need to pray for God to help us for this particular gift of wisdom. Sometimes that wisdom is to unravel spiritual problems, like Paul was doing in this letter, actually. Getting to the root of the cause of the problem with the Christians in Corinth, that somehow pagan influences from their past was affecting their present Christian walk. Wisdom is really important. And so is the message of knowledge that is given supernaturally by God. And so often we see that with Jesus. He could see into the lives of people what the root of their problem was. And occasionally we see that happening within the Christian church too. God will gift people with a message of knowledge. To others, he will give a gift of faith to do something specific. This isn't necessarily about saving faith. We are here today because we believe that the Spirit of God is within us, and he has enabled us to say Jesus is Lord. That's saving faith, where God has come and done that important work within us. This is a faith which leads to something else, a gift of faith to do something supernaturally in his power. And it may be what it goes on to say, healing or those other types of gifts. But actually, it can be about being called to do something which you hadn't necessarily thought you'd have the ability to do. Something wonderful for God. We hear of people in the past, and particularly Corrie ten Boom, who was an extraordinary lady who was gifted in faith in extraordinary ways. And she was enabled by faith to, for instance, to lead others to Christ in the prison cell in which she was incarcerated with her sister, even though her jailers were obviously persecuting her and her sister and others besides. She had a gift of faith which rose beyond all of that and saw the importance of leading people to a faith in Jesus Christ. What an extraordinary thing that is. And God will do that for us as we pray and ask him. To another, gifts of healing are given by one Spirit, the same Spirit. And to another, prophecy, which is really important. We need to hear God not just for the past. We need to hear him for today and for the future. And he will speak into people's lives and into the life of the church. And he will give to some the gift of tongues or languages. On the day of Pentecost, it came in a specific way, where you have people from many different nations in Jerusalem in attendance, and they heard the disciples worshipping God in their own language. And that's an extraordinary thing, isn't it? And you hear about that sometimes today. People will come from different parts of the world, and they will attend an act of worship, and someone will give a word of prophecy, and it will be in their language. That is a supernatural gift, because often the speaker doesn't even speak Chinese or Russian or whatever it was. But somebody will listen. And that's for encouraging people and giving them a word of encouragement from God to them. Some others will be given the gift of interpretation. Can you see that all of these things actually work together for the common good? Not just for ourselves, but actually for Christ's sake. Building up the church and speaking into people's lives, even in the community. And that is an extraordinary thing too. So there ought to be an authentic purpose, which is for the common good. And those gifts, all of them, are for the common good. I think too, there ought to be an authentic witness about it too. So people ought to be able to look on and see that God is working in his church by his Spirit and changing people's lives. There is a story about that after St. Francis of Assisi died, 2 years later, the church decided to make him a saint and canonize him, as the word goes. And so they were all gathered together where stories were told about his life and what he was doing. The story of his life included some of the miracles that he was involved in during his ministry. And we're told that the Pope was so moved that he wept, and so did other clergy within the congregation. And at that point, the Pope and the rest of the clergy and congregation lifted their hands towards heaven and proclaimed Francis to be enrolled among the saints. I believe he probably already was, actually, but anyway. At these words, it says, the cardinals, together with the Pope, began to sing, first of all, the Te Deum, and then there was a clamour among the people, with many people praising God, and the earth resounded with many mighty voices, and the air was filled with jubilations, and the ground was moistened with tears. New songs were sung, sweet-sounding organs were heard, and spiritual hymns were sung with well-modulated voices. A very sweet odour was breathed, and a most joyous melody that stirred the emotions resounded there. That's God working supernaturally amongst the people who were gathered, who were giving praise to God for St. Francis' ministry. So it wasn't just the New Testament days. There are attestations of this all the way through church life, up until and including our own time. And the authenticity about St. Francis' ministry was the way in which he was attested to by those who followed him, who gave glory to God for all that was going on in his life during his time. And I think that essentially is what Paul is trying to say to us even today, and God, through Paul's words, is saying to us today, that there is an authentic message and there is an authentic way of living, an authentic faith. There are authentic works that can be proclaimed as God enables us by his Spirit to do. And of course, there is authentic purpose and witness. It all begins in Christ. And as we ask him to fill us with his Holy Spirit, and be open to the promise and the option that he actually may choose to give us some of these gifts by his Spirit, then we see the church flourish and grow. And not just in this body, but actually numbers will be added to us, because that's how God works in and through and by his Spirit.